Well, thank you very much, and don't worry, I'm not going to talk too long. Just because you call this a keynote address doesn't mean you get an address. That means something for 30 minutes, written out long in advance, and read on a teleprompter. So I don't do that. Because I can't figure out how the damn thing works. I once tried a teleprompter, and I got out of sync, and it's very confusing. So if you just make it up as you go along, you're always on point. Because you're making the point each time. Anyway, I'm really glad to be here, and it's particularly important that we celebrate and bring forth to our memory the great work of Dr. King. As I was thinking of something to say that hadn't been said yet, I was just putting through my mind the idea of what was King doing there. There was a lot of inertia. What was going on at the time? And you had all that institutionalized segregation throughout the South, and he was able to mobilize, not him alone, but he was the embodiment of that spirit of change and of disrupting the comfortable, segregated set of institutions that defined a good part of America at the time. And that's really the challenge we're facing now. It's different, but you have a set of patterns and practices, and we're all going along with them, and yet we know the results are not good in terms of what's happened to poor kids, what's happened to those who drop out of school, what happens to this huge self-replicating prison system, the growing inequality, the fact that income is moving up to the few, and it is, it's being redistributed. And you can't ever mention that, because if you do, then you're engaging in class warfare. It's amazing. We're supposed to shush, just shut up, don't talk about it. But the problem gets compounded when you give more of these tax breaks to the people who have so much cash they don't even know how to spend it. And that's what's happening. There's like $1 trillion of cash sitting in companies right now. And they can't figure out what to do with it. At the same time, what we do as a group through our state schools and road building and transit and all the things we colleges and universities, then that becomes less impressive than what's done in the private sector. And the market is powerful; it generates a lot of goods. So the only way things seem to work here is you give a tax break and then you get enough money and go buy another flat screen TV made in China. And if you say, let's invest in our roads or our schools, well, no, that's taxes and that's government. But the fact is, we need to have a balance. And right now, the balance is tilting against the common purpose that holds us all together. And as I come back here after my long absence, I feel like Rip Van Winkle here. I was here last year 28 years ago, and Republicans would sit down with Democrats, and the lion lay down with the lamb, swords had been beaten into plowshares. I mean, things were great. And boy, things went downhill after I left. They started building prisons and stopped building colleges, I could go through the whole list. We had a few little problems, there were little problems here and there. But it is more polarized. And, the hostility toward what we do together through government is very powerful. And yet, if we can't find the collective will to invest in our kids, invest in our environment, invest in those basic common resources that define a civilization, then we don't make it better, we make it worse. And so I looked to Dr. King's vision. Remember, if there's no vision, the people perish. And what is the vision today? Because the vision now is divisiveness. I mean, I know politics is always negative, and there's always, you got to attack the opponent and all that. But the attacks on President Obama go beyond what is usual. There's something really poisonous in there. Sometimes I turn on that channel, you know, the one I'm talking about, just to kind of see what they're talking about. And it's really strange stuff. It's like, I mean, you're not going to have an America if we just divide everything down the middle. And we polarize, we scapegoat, and that's not what it's going to take. Because we only are strong if we have a common purpose and a sense of mission, and we all have a stake. And you can't have a stake in something if you can't even buy a stake, if you don't have the basic resources. Now, unfortunately, now I got a budget here that really is not pretty, and we do have to do tough stuff. But I have to say, some of the things we got to do, I know they were taken from Peter to pay Paul, but when we take from redevelopment and we put $1 billion into the schools, that's a good thing, because we got to make sure whatever we do, we give a chance to those who are coming along in the next generation. And that is a civil rights issue, because who's getting crushed out there? If you look at the whole, and by the way, what they're doing, some, I don't know who these politicians were, but they figured out after when I was gone. I was in Africa with Linda Ronstadt or Calcutta with Mother Teresa. I wasn't here to screw this place up. But you know, they figured something out. If you lower the wages of people and you reduce support for the schools and then you replace it with tests, and if you test kids enough, then that'll do the job, because it's so cheap to have a test. And so now we got tests from the schools, and we got tests from the school district, we got tests from the state, we got tests from the federal government. And it's like you got a car and it's not going fast enough. You say, go to somebody and say, you know what you need? You need a second speedometer. Or maybe a third speedometer. No, we don't need to figure out how fast we're going. We just need a new engine. We need some fuel. We need some investment in our people. That's the vision. Anyway, I'm going to not go beyond that, other than to say I'm really glad to be here. I appreciate being with Linda on the same stage, getting awards together. And I have to give her a special acknowledgement. The Comcast went out on Thanksgiving morning, and she had 3 trucks up there. My wife had never seen anything like it, right out in front of our house. And I didn't know whether it's because she loved me or because I'd been elected governor. I wasn't sure which it was. But I'm very grateful that I got my Comcast working. Even though you're raising my fees here in the last month, so I want to get a cheaper package. Anyway, we can do a lot of good things together. And, you know, every generation, every term, you got new battles. So we got some more battles, and I'm really open. The door is open. I talked to the League of Cities, and I said, come on over. Only about 20 people. Thank God. I invited 400 people to come over. Only about 20 came, so I handled it. But the governor, but I really liked one thing when I was walking through last night. The guy says, I'm a Republican city councilman. And he said, but I want to just thank you that the governor's office is back in the hands of the people. And I really take that as my challenge, and I'm going to live up to it with your help. Thank you very much.